about to turn it on. All right, good morning, everybody. Thank you. Somebody right here, that was good. Hey, so we're continuing a series this week called Shade. And if you've missed any of it, we'll catch you up to speed and kind of give you some of the backstory and what's going on. And so what we've been doing is we've been looking at the story of a guy named Nehemiah. And so it's several hundred years ago. A guy named Nehemiah was an exile into the land of Persia. You guys, if you want some history, we'll try to do the best we can with that. So Nehemiah was exiled into the land of Persia. He was a cupbearer for Artaxerxes, who was the king of Persia. And a cupbearer is not exactly the kind of job that you want to have. So basically, your job is to taste the king's drink to make sure that it's not poisoned. And if it is, sorry about your bad luck. So that was his job. But he felt like this calling, this passion, this purpose that God had placed on his heart to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So he approaches the king. He's like, king, this is what I feel like I'm supposed to do. And the king releases him to go and do it. So Nehemiah receives this purpose and this plan from God to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Incredible, incredible. And we're going to look at next week how important this was. Because here's the thing. Sometimes I think when we're in the middle of something, when we're building something, we lose sight of the impact that it can have down the road, the people that it can affect years to come. And so that's what we're going to look at next week. So that's a tease. Good. In case you needed that. So in case you're unfamiliar with the expression shade, all it is, you find it typically in this phrase in today's vernacular. People throw in shade when they're critical, they're negative, or they discourage you. They try to keep you distracted or discouraged from what it is that you feel like God wants you to do. And that's just kind of the world we live in. Like people, if you try to accomplish anything good or worthwhile or of merit that has value, inevitably somebody is going to say something, or they're going to be negative about you or towards you, or you and your mama and your children and all of them, right? So that's just kind of the world we live in. So using Nehemiah as our backdrop, we're going to look at some things that we can learn about overcoming the shade, because you can't get away from it. If you try to live a meaningful, purposeful life, you're going to face it. You're going to deal with it. So we're going to look at how to overcome it instead. And so that's what we're going to do this week. Last week, in case you missed that one, we talked about how the shade works, like how your adversaries work, and the way they try to work with the shade. And we have to remember that when somebody is in an adversarial role, like it doesn't necessarily mean that they're our enemy. Like I was telling you guys that God loves them just as much as he loves you. And we got to remember that, because that's difficult sometimes, right? So the first thing is this. The first point today in how to overcome the shade is work with one hand and keep a weapon in the other. Work with one hand and keep a weapon in the other. And so this is not a literal weapon. This is not holstering. If you're packing right now, don't show it. Don't brandish your weapon. Just keep that to yourself, right? But Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 say this. This is what it says. But from then on, only half of my men worked. Let me stop and kind of set this up. So they're making progress. They're building the wall. They've got some things happening. Good things are coming about in Jerusalem. So from then on, only half my men worked, while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on with the work, with one hand supporting their load and with one hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. So kind of to give you some context again, right? They've seen a lot of progress, but they know that they've got an enemy. They know that Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and all of these guys are coming against the work that they're trying to do. They know that they've got adversaries. They know they got people throwing shade. And so what they've got to do is stay focused on the task at hand. And in order to do that, they've got to work with one hand and have your piece in the other, or your sword, or your weapon, or whatever your weapon of choice is. I kind of like, what is those things with the big ball and chain and like spiky ball? That may be my weapon of choice, right? So in Nehemiah's case, they were not just under like a figurative or linguistic attack, right? It wasn't like people were just talking about them. There was a real and imminent threat in their life, a physical threat. So Sanballat and Tobiah had told them that they would stop them physically if that's what it took. And so to ensure that they completed the task that was before them, they focused on offense and on defense. Right? Focus on offense and on defense. Focus on what you've got to do, but also protect yourself, guard yourself, make sure that you're working on your defense too. They kept a watchful eye on the enemy and carried on their wall-building efforts. So for us, I think there are some really very tangible spiritual takeaways from these verses. We know that our struggle, like if you look at some of the verses in the New Testament, it's like, hey, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirits. Like, we never really struggle with people. We struggle with things that are going on outside of the world that we don't understand, right? And so knowing that that's where our struggle is and there are spiritual forces that are at work against us, we've got to know that we get to work with one hand and we got to have our weapon in the other hand. We usually get distracted or discouraged through misinformation or negative words, right? When people say negative things, it gets us distracted. And so the Bible calls the devil, we don't talk about the devil a whole lot, because I think the devil gets too much credit a lot of times. I think most of our problems are our problems, like we are self-inflicted wounds, right? But I also believe there is a work behind a lot of the stupid things that we do, and it's the Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. He's like accusing us of things and challenging us and trying to discourage us and distract us. And so I believe that to stay the course and do what God wants us to do, we have to work in with one hand, like, you know, building the wall, laying bricks, right, with one hand, and have a sword in the other. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says that God's word is a sword, right? It's a living and active sword. And it talks about how the Bible, God's words, are a sword. And it's just funny to me how that works. We get to work with one hand, and we've got a sword in our other hand. And so let me show you how this plays out for us. We have to look for truth from God's word and not validation from other people, right? We have to look for truth in God's word, not the opinions of other people, not the estimation of other people. And so we have to remember that, man, you're loved, right? Because when shade comes and they tell you, what are you doing? You're not going to make it. You're not very good. You're not very talented. You got to remember that you're loved. You got to remember that you're called. You've got to remember that you're forgiven. You've got to remember that your confidence is not in you or your ability. It's in the God who called you to build the wall that you're called to build. You're hopeful. You're equipped. You're capable. You are worthy. Right? That's the sword that we carry, because when the shade comes, like, you're going to feel discouraged and be like, man, you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I don't have what it takes. Maybe I'm not smart enough to do what it is that God wants me to do. Maybe I'm not courageous enough to put myself out there and do the things that I feel like God wants me to do. And you need the sword in your hand to help you to keep building the wall. You need the sword in your hand to remind you of who you are and whose you are and who it is that called you to do this in the first place. That's the truth that God speaks over us, and that's the sword that we carry. So keep building your wall, and keep your weapon in your hand. The thunder agrees. I guess. The second thing is this. Never take off your clothes. This is not a relationship series either, and we still work that in. I'll explain. Let me explain. Never take off your clothes. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. You guys have just filthy minds. This is what it says. We worked early and late from sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem, stay guarded, stay protected. That way, they and their servants could help with the guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, verse 23, this is really interesting. During this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. Now, isn't that interesting? Like, so they say it took approximately 52 days to rebuild this wall. That's a long time. And you're thinking, they're working, they're getting sweaty and hot all day. It's probably not very hygienic for them to not go and at least wash off and change clothes every once in a while. It may sound strange and, again, kind of gross that they never change clothes, but Nehemiah was onto something. Because if they would have stopped, if they would have taken time to go and freshen up and clean and take a bath and change clothes, what they would have done is they would have let their guard down. And they would have given their enemy a weakness to exploit. Right? And what happens is when we're building our wall and we're doing our thing and we stop and we hesitate, we pause and we get focused on something else, we give our enemy a weakness to exploit. We make ourselves vulnerable to an attack. And so they realized, Nehemiah realized, hey man, if we don't stop to change clothes, they won't ever have an opportunity to stop us from doing what it is that we're doing. So keep your clothes on. In every possible way, right? I believe the lesson in there for us is just to have a heightened sense of awareness of your own shortcomings when the shade comes. Because look, here's the deal. Like, let's all be really honest in church. That's a great thing to do. We've all got shortcomings. We all have issues. We all have areas that we fail in. And so that's not the point. The point is that you try to keep a guard up so that you can't be exposed for the things in your life that people want to drag you down about, right? Does that make sense? Are you with me? 1 Timothy chapter, I think it's chapter 3, talks about living above reproach. And all that means is just, hey, don't give people unnecessary fodder to throw your way. Don't give them all of these things to talk about that aren't even related to the main thing that you're trying to accomplish, right? Don't give them easy fire and ambition to perpetuate the stupidity. We know that we're not perfect, and we know that we've got shortcomings. But I think it's during times like these that we should use the shade. You can do one of two things with shade. You can get upset, and you can get bent out of shape, and you can get bitter, and you can get mad, and you can want to retaliate, or you can use it to get better, right? You can be like, okay, look, somebody's saying something. I don't necessarily believe it. I don't necessarily believe that there is any validity to what it is that they're saying, but I'm going to stop and use this as an opportunity to do some self-evaluation, to take some inventory of my life, and to make sure that everything that I'm doing it for God. There's no selfish motive. There's no selfish ambition. And I'm just trying to be the person that God has called me to be. We're not perfect, but we strive to live as purely and godly as we can. And so sometimes, rather than just dismissing it, let it drive you to greater depths in your walk and your closeness with God. Find the areas in your life that are exposed, where maybe you have taken your clothes off, figuratively. And you're exposed and vulnerable, and work to shore those areas up. So the second thing was keep your clothes on, right? The third one, and this is the title of the message, is, and this is really cheesy, but just go with me. It's, oh no, you don't. Oh no, you don't. Oh no is one word, and it'll make sense in a minute. Nehemiah chapter 6. Thank you for going with that really awful humor. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it says this. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained. So they are making incredible progress. But they hadn't finished putting the doors and the gates, right? They've got the walls completely redone, but they don't have the gates set up just yet. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of, oh no. But I realized that they were plotting to harm me. So I replied by sending this message to them. This is so good. Man, if this could be our response when people try to get us off our game, when people try to distract us from the work that we're doing, when people are trying to get us to come down off of the wall that we're building, this should be our response. Nehemiah said, I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Four times they sent the same message, and each time I gave the same reply. Here's the thing. People are persistent, man, and they want you to stop doing what it is that you're doing, because we know how it is. We live in this crazy world where people don't want to see you succeed, and they don't want to see you get ahead. And when you start to do it, when you stand up on that wall, they're like, hey, why don't you come to Oh No and talk to us? And you say to them, oh, no, you don't. Oh no, you don't get me down off the wall that I'm building. Oh no, you don't get me off this path that God has called me to. Oh no, you don't get me from doing the things that He wants me to do. Oh no, you don't, right? And when they realize that you're sincere and you're determined, what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to distract you with conversations. Why don't you come down here off that wall and tell me about it? Or you could keep building the wall. In fact, you got a weapon in one hand, and you got, bricklaying tools or whatever you got in the other hand, your mouth's still free. I can work and talk to you at the same time, but I'm not coming down off of the wall. You're not going to get me down. Oh, no, you didn't. Maybe your wall, and that's what's so cool about this, is this relates to every one of us in whatever area of our lives that we feel like God is calling us to improve, to build upon, or to rebuild. And so maybe your wall right now is related to your character, right? Maybe you're trying to improve some areas of your life. Maybe you've got some things that you need to change. So the shady characters, what they want is for you to come off the wall and talk to them about it, right? Because you know how this works, and it's crazy to me that it works like this. When we're trying to make some changes in our life, people, they don't want us to improve. They don't want us to get better. They don't want us. I remember when I first started going to church, and you guys know the story. Shelly's hot. She invited me to church, so I went. It's really simple, right? So she asked me to come, and so I did, and it was an incredible, you know, time in my life, and a lot of things changed, and I thought my friends would be happy for me. But I found out pretty soon after that they weren't, right? They wanted me to do the same things that I used to do. And if I were going to be this person that God called me to be, then I couldn't do the things that I used to do. And I couldn't hang out with the people that I used to hang out with. And I couldn't go to the places that I used to go, right? Because you're a new creation. You're a new person. And you don't do those things anymore. And so they wanted to have these conversations about it. They wanted to bring me down from the wall to talk about the change that was going on in my life when all I really needed to focus on was the change that was going on in my life, right? And this can be so many different areas of your life. Maybe you're trying to work on gossip, right? Or maybe you've got some lifestyle changes that need to happen. Maybe you're focused on building a ministry or a business or your career or how you handle your money. Or maybe you're trying to kick bad habits. Or maybe you're trying to, you know, work on an area of lust or lying or whatever it is. Whatever it is that you're trying to improve, don't come down off the wall. Keep building the wall, right? And this is not a political statement at all. Seems like everybody wants to talk about a wall. And we're talking about Nehemiah and Jerusalem and their wall. This is not an American wall, right? And so when they try to get you to come down off of the wall, this is what you've got to remember. Oh, no, you don't. I am engaged in a great work. I'm doing something significant. I'm doing something that matters. I'm doing something for me that's going to impact my children and my children's children, right? I'm living a life. I'm trying to become this person that God wants me to be that's going to have a generational impact. And I'm not coming down off the wall to talk to you, even if you ask me once, and even if you ask me twice, and even if you ask me three times, and even if you ask me four times. I'm not coming down off the wall. I'm building the wall. Just give them the, oh, no, you don't. I had this was really cheesy, but I thought we've already killed that with the oh, no, so we can be cheesy as we want, right? Don't be distracted by low living because you're high on the wall, right? Don't be distracted by low living. Don't allow people to try to bring you to their level down here where it's low and they're not going anywhere and they're not doing anything and they're not accomplishing anything with their life of merit or significance. All they do is talk and talk and talk, and they want you to join the conversation. Don't be distracted by low living because you're high up on the wall. Not high up on the wall, but high altitude up on the wall, right? Last one is this. Don't be overcome by lies and threats. Don't be overcome by lies and threats. If you want to overcome the shade, you've got to overcome some lies and some threats. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Why are you giggling? That's not good. Or maybe it's really good. Maybe you got a story to tell. This is interesting. The very first three words, this is right after the passage we just looked at in Nehemiah chapter 6. In verse 5, the first three words, the fifth time, they kept coming, man. Like, if nothing else, like, I don't like Sanballat and Tobiah because clearly they're the antagonists to the story. But, man, these guys were persistent, right? So the fifth time, Sanballat's servant came with an open letter in his hand, and this is what it said. There is a rumor among the surrounding nations, and Geshem tells me it's true, right? My cohort, my partner in crime here, he tells me it's true. There's this rumor circulating, and my friend, who's also your enemy, tells me that it's true. That's a really credible source. Tells me that it's true that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you are building the wall. According to his reports, all of these reports are coming from the guy that's against him, right? So according to his reports, you plan to be their king. He also reports that you have appointed prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim about you, look, there is a king in Judah. All hail King Nehemiah, right? That's what they're saying. So you can be very sure that this report will get back to the king. So I suggest that you come over and talk it over with me. I suggest that you come and talk it over with me. So now, because Nehemiah wouldn't come down off the wall and talk to him about it, and he was like, oh, no, you don't, right? So now they've concocted this plan. They circulated some rumors, and they want to get other people involved to try to persuade and influence the situation. And so he, using Geshem and his servants and all these people, starts to get this swell, a groundswell of misinformation, things that weren't even true, to make it look like Nehemiah was trying to take over Jerusalem and overthrow the king and kind of rebel. So this is what he says. I replied, there is no truth in any part of your story. You are making up the whole thing. In verse 9, they were just trying to intimidate us. imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination. Isn't that good? It's like, not only did I not get distracted, not only did I not get discouraged, but I used it as fuel, because you're not going to get fought against and you're not going to be challenged if the work that you're doing isn't great. So use it as fuel to do even greater work, to have more, even, you know, even greater determination than you did before. The last thing that we're going to look at and how to overcome the shade is to not be intimidated by lies and threats. And so what gets tricky about this, like, think about Nehemiah's story and kind of how it plays out. There is some truth mingled in there, right? Like, they are rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And so they use some truth, and they mix in some non-truth, some misinformation, and they kind of, it almost gives a little bit of validity to the rumors when there is some truth in there. We're like, yeah, they are rebuilding the wall. So I guess it kind of makes sense that maybe Nehemiah wants to be the king of Jerusalem. So that's how it works. So we have to remember that truth, even when it's got, you know, mixed in misinformation, you've got to remember the truth, right? You've got to remember why you're doing what you're doing. Sure, they were building a wall and refortifying Jerusalem, but the lies came about their heart and their intent, right? The lies came about their motivation. Why are you doing what you're doing? So the enemies tried to accuse them of rebuilding the walls for selfish gain, but Nehemiah didn't give in to the intimidation and gossip. In fact, it steeled his resolve, right? It made him even more determined, more doggedly determined. So I continued the work with greater determination is what it says. And the same should be true of us, right? Like, anytime that these, you know, little factions or sections of gossip pop up and people start saying things that maybe have elements of truth to them, don't let it discourage you. Don't let it distract you. Don't let the misinformation add validity to the gossip. You got to keep doing what it is that you're called to do. And when they start to question your intentions and your motivation and make it seem like you're only in this for yourself and you're only looking out for number one, just remember who called you to do the work in the first place, right? Like, you don't put yourself out there for your own sake. You put yourself out there for the sake of God and what it is that he's called you to do. You have to remember who you're doing this for. It is God that has called you to your specific wall. Like, it is God that, people, by and large, like, if you look at the way that people live their lives, it's usually we kind of are self-destructive, right? We implode. And so if you've got this compulsion, this desire to do something greater with your life, it probably came from somewhere. It probably came from God. If you have this desire to change, if you have this desire to see transformation and growth in your life, that probably came from God. So you got to remember who it is that called you to do this in the first place. He's the one that placed the desire in your heart. He is the one that purposed this work for you to put your hands to. So don't be intimidated by threats and by lies. Keep building the wall, right? Keep building the wall. And this is where we'll kind of wrap up with this. Look, I don't know what your wall is, what your specific area. And I think it's so cool that every one of us at every point in our lives have something that we should be focused on, have something that we should be trying to grow in some area. I heard a saying this week, and I thought it was really good. It said, Christianity, being a Christian is like climbing up a muddy hill, right? It's like, man, it's a lot of work. And there are some slips that happen along the way, but as long as you're just kind of, you're digging in, man, you're trying, and you have you climbed up a muddy hill? If it's been a long time, you need to, it's wet outside, you could probably go do this today, right? And post pictures on Instagram, hashtag, I don't know, Nehemiah's Hill. If you missed it, we named Nehemiah Nehemi because we didn't want to say Nehemiah, but then we vetoed that, we X'd it because it wasn't very good, right? And so if you've ever climbed up a muddy hill, you know it's hard, man, and you'll stick your fingers in there, and you'll think you've got a really good grip, and you start to make some progress, and then your whole hand and all that mud just, and you start sliding back down. So you dig your toes in, you dig anything that you can possibly use to get some traction, to gain some ground, you use, and you're just climbing up this hill, and you're going to slip. Like, you're going to slip some, and you're going to slide back down just a little bit, but you keep climbing, and you keep climbing, and you keep climbing, and you slip, and you keep climbing, and you keep climbing, and you keep climbing, and you slip, right? The same thing is true in whatever area of your life you're trying to improve, whatever, you know, thing it is that you feel like God has called you to build. Maybe it's, you know, this area of your life that you're trying to focus on is your family, or maybe it's your career, or maybe it's school at this point in your life. Whatever it is that you're trying to build, whatever it is that you're trying to do that's significant, that matters, keep climbing up the muddy hill, right? When you have a setback and somebody says something, don't quit. Don't slide the rest of the way down the hill. Dig your toes in, dig your fingers in, and keep climbing up the muddy hill, because eventually you're going to make it, right? Eventually you're going to get there. It took Nehemiah 52 days. It may take us 52 years. That's a possibility, right? It may take us a long time to get where it is that we feel like God wants us to go, but the point is that we continue to grow. We continue the process. We continue to follow him the best that we know how, putting all of our hearts and souls and minds into it. And then we trust God with the results, right? Like, it's not our responsibility to attain and achieve these spectacular results with our life. That's God's responsibility. Our responsibility is faithfulness. And I want to be found, just like I'm sure you do, I want to be found at the end of my life. Man, you can have all of these incredible accolades for people and all of these great, you know, superlatives and ways that you describe them. Man, they were, you know, a superstar, and they were so talented, and they had this and that and this and that. I think I would be very satisfied if the only thing that were said of me was that he was faithful. And Jesus emphasized this, right? Jesus points out how important this is. It's like, you know, you gather all of the people up and they come before me, and my evaluation of their life is one of two things. Either they were faithful or they weren't, right? He said, well done, good and faithful servant. And so let's be faithful with the wall that God has called us to build. Let's be faithful with the thing that he's called us to improve on. Let's be faithful with the area in our life, the spot in our character that we need to make some changes in. Don't be afraid to slip, but keep fighting, keep digging, keep building the wall. Amen? My prayer for us today is just this, man, that we'll have the wisdom to see how to overcome the shade. And then we'll have the strength to keep fighting. We'll have the strength to keep building. We'll have the strength to keep climbing up the muddy hill. Let me pray for us. God, you are so good. You are so much better than we deserve. Sometimes it just doesn't even make sense that you would be willing to give yourself for us. In spite of our inability to repay, in spite of our sin towards you, but in your love and your mercy towards us, that you gave yourself freely and willingly to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus, for that, we're thankful. God, and we know that we don't deserve it, but we thank you anyway. God, thank you that you've not only just saved us, but God, you've also given us purpose. God, you've also given us a reason to be here, a reason to wake up in the morning, and a reason to keep on fighting the good fight. God, I pray that you would help every person in this room to realize first and foremost what their wall is, what area in their life, God, that it is that you've called them to focus on in this season, what it is that they need to grow in, what it is they need to build, and you would help them to build that wall. God, that they wouldn't be distracted by what other people say or think about them. They wouldn't be intimidated. They wouldn't be discouraged. But they would only be concerned with what you think of them. They would keep their sword in their hand. That reminds them, God, that they are loved. That reminds them, God, that they have hope in you. That reminds them, God, that they can be joyful in spite of adversity because of what you've done for them and because of your spirit that you've placed in them. God, help us to keep the sword in our hands. God, that reminds us, God, that, yeah, we are unqualified, but you make us qualified. God, that we don't have it all together and we don't have all of the answers. God, but you still use us to make a difference in the world we live in. God, help us to have steeled resolve. God, help us to have greater determination like Nehemiah did and build our wall. God, in spite of what's going on around us, in spite of what people may say, help us to follow you and do what it is that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.